Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the Soul in Sports. It's 5 o'clock, so you know it's that time. You're here with Fox Sports, 1320 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. And what a week it has been in sports, and what a weekend it's going to be. A lot of things going on in sports this weekend. You got college football, you got NBA basketball, you got playoff baseball. Man, just you got marquee matchups. You got the Greek Freak and King James going at it. You got the Celtics and the Sixers are going to be going at it. Last night you had Carmelo going up against his old team. Tuesday night you had the broken ankle hurt around the world as Gordon Hayward broke his ankle and dislocated his ankle and broke his tibia and in front of the world and on opening night in the NBA. And you can hear the snap, too. I don't want to go back to it, but you can hear the snap. It was nasty. I was watching it live. It was nasty. And then you got you had the defending champion Golden State Warriors go down in their opening night game to the Houston Rockets last second shot, and you know, and just like that, the NBA season is on its way. Last night you also had the Chiefs fall to the Raiders, and man, let me tell you, what a game! 2 weeks in a row, Thursday Night Football was pretty decent, man. You had Marshawn Lynch get kicked out of the game for handling a referee. And, man, I mean, it's just a whole bunch of things going on. So, without further ado, let me bring in the man, the myth, the legend, the king of Richmond, Virginia himself, my man Michael. What's going on, man?
I don't know if I'm a king. I don't need to sing. And it just got to have the rhymes. Yes, sir, I got them to bring. It's still me, the guy that you know as M.E., Emmy Richmond on the Twitter, and I wish I was more like the Cubs pitching last year when they were throwing no hitters, but they got hit a lot, a whole lot. And so we actually see Clayton Kershaw do something that we haven't seen him do in ever, actually be ready to start a game in the World Series. Well, how about that? How about that,
how about
Jay Chris?
That? The first time the Dodgers have been to the World Series since 1988. Man, gosh. That's a long time. That's Tommy Lasorda days. That's Kurt Gibson days.
I was like 2 years old.
I was seven years old at the time. I was 7 years old the last time the Dodgers, and now here I am at 36. So almost 30 years since the Dodgers have been to the World Series. And excuse me, whoever they play, we're going to find out maybe tonight, maybe not tonight, between the Yankees and the Astros, which this series has been something as well. The Astros started out the series going up 2-0, seemingly looking like they were just going to dominate the series. Then the series switches over to New York, and New York just took over. They have not lost a game at home. So the Yankees are up 3-2. And, Mike, as the old adage says, the playoff series has not started until a road team has won a game. So has this playoff series not started yet?
Of course the playoff series hasn't started yet. No one's won a road game. So everyone's serving at home. We're back in Houston tonight, right?
Back in Houston tonight.
Okay, so if the Yankees decide to go ahead and man up and shut them out or limit them to less than 2 runs and they go off, not necessarily like the Dodgers did, but they go off like they've been doing and hitting. I mean, because you got the Corey Kluber. And that's was it Dallas Keuchel?
Keuchel.
Thank you very much. Kluber's on the Cleveland Indians. They're gone. So, like you did to Kluber, if you can get the – you already got the Keuchel, and now you got to get the Verlander. If you get the Verlander, you're straight. You're good. You're gravy. We get a marquee matchup in baseball that even I may actually watch because it's big names. It's L.A. It's New York. It's Dodgers. It's the Yanks. It's – the two largest areas where everyone did the most voting for one party and everybody else in America said, we ain't having it. You know, that's how it is. You know, L.A., New York kind of dominate everything when it comes to our worldview in America. But, I can see it coming. I can see it happening. The Yankees have been on fire. And when they get on this streak, it's very hard to stop them. They showed that in the Cleveland series, and they're showing it right here in the series against Houston. Yes, it's been all home games, but it's not like that Houston didn't own the Yankees for a while, but the postseason is always different than the regular season. Have we not talked about that in any sport, Jay Chris, that every time you get to the postseason, it's a whole different season, it's a whole different thing. Doesn't matter that you swept them in the regular season. Doesn't matter that you may have tied or you may have done worse against them. It's going to end up being, hey, what are you doing now at this time in this juncture? And I'm excited. I may not watch the game all the way. I'm in the middle of a moving, so I may watch the game in passing. But honestly, if I had to give you an early lock it up, I'm going for the Yanks. I'm going for the Yanks to win it. Lock it up.
Ooh. Locking it up early on a Lock It Up Friday. It is a Lock It Up Friday. And you're locking it up early on the Lock It Up Friday. You're locking up the Yanks tonight with the win. I like it. I like it.
Hey, man, you got a guy who's 6. I've never seen a guy the size of Aaron Judge play baseball and do it well. So I'm excited just for that. It's going to be Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
That is a big dude. That is a big dude. Aaron Judge is 6'7"?
6'7 or 6'8. It's one of those.
He's a basketball player. He's the size of a basketball player playing baseball. You only see that in basketball and sometimes in football, but you rarely see it in baseball. Baseball is a game where guys can be under 6 foot and still have a good handle on the game. And hockey as well. But anyway, 347-637-3859. Micah has already locked up the Yankees winner tonight. So I'm going to make it interesting. And I'm going to lock up the Astros tonight, just because, just so we can, so we can have some dueling banjos here. I'm going to lock up.
Don't do no dueling banjos for the sake of dueling banjos. Be real.
Well,
do you really think that after they got their best ace, that the second ace is going to do better?
Well, there's also the fact that I just don't like the Yankees.
Oh, well, let me go ahead and do that for you.
There, lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I like Chapman. You know, that's one of my favorite pitchers in this league, only because the velocity is crazy. And I think that might have been one of the biggest issues with the Chicago Cubs is that they didn't have Chapman. They didn't have that fallback option. And he is not a game changer, but he's a game finisher. And I really think the Yankees have to have a chance to do something. But like I said, I'm locking up the Astros to win tonight. And we'll get back on that. Also, you know, Mike had talked about the Dodgers winning last night. They beat Mike Chicago Cubs, which means we will have a new champion in Major League Baseball. Sorry, Mike. I mean, it happens. I went through it with the Phillies not too long ago. But it does mean that we will have a new champion in Major League Baseball. We will have a new champion. And it will either be the Dodgers, the Yankees, or the Astros. Now, I've seen the Yankees in the World Series enough. I want to see a new team in the World Series. I haven't seen the Astros in the World Series in a long time. Man, I don't know if I've ever seen them. I don't know when the last time the Astros been to the World Series, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't mind seeing the Astros in the World Series. I still don't understand why they left the National League. That was kind of weird to me. It just kind of quietly happened like 2 or 3 years ago, and all of a sudden they were an American League team while I'm watching baseball one day. And I said, I think they were playing the Yankees or something. I said, wow, is the play starting already? No, it was like opening weekend. But Clayton Kershaw in his first World Series, Micah, I'm going to ask you to speak on this. In the past, I mean, Clayton Kershaw has consistently had, like, the greatest regular seasons, you know, in baseball for the past few years. But in the playoffs, has come up a bit short. Small, I should say. Probably better by saying small. Will he handle the pressure of being in his first World Series and LA's first World Series in almost 30 years? That was for you, Micah. I'm sorry.
I want to have faith that Clayton Kershaw is going to do what my wonderful quarterback of Peyton Manning did. You get to the playoffs, you stink. You get to the playoffs, you continue to stink. You get to the playoffs with an actual defense, you win a Super Bowl. You get to the playoffs again with a real with a decent defense, and you almost win another Super Bowl. You lose to the Saints. It's okay. It was the Saints. You can live with that. It's your dad's squad. Hey, why not? Why not? It's okay. Here's one thing that I think that sets the different tone for Clayton Kershaw now than it did before. Clayton Kershaw now has less pressure on him to win this World Series as the ace of the Dodgers than he has ever had. And here's what I mean by that. What's the one thing that he never had or barely had when it came to going into the playoffs and going to the postseason? He didn't have any help. And even in baseball, you still have to have bats. You have to have some semblance of offense. Even if he does everything that he needs to do, if they get two runs on him and their bats aren't swinging and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then that 2-0 is going to go and live with him for the rest of his career. However, they made a tremendous amount of moves before this postseason got started. They made some crazy moves by the trade deadline, and what they did was give him bullpen help, and they gave him bats. So the two things that he really didn't have backing him up in the past postseasons that they appeared, he has now. So now it's not on him to pitch a perfect game when he has a team around him to really bring everything together. And, you know, when they were in that slump, they were losing, what, 10, 15 games in a row. Everyone was like, oh, here we go again. He's gonna lose and all that stuff. And like I said before, it doesn't matter what the regular season does. When you get to the postseason, you're a different story. Everyone locked in. Everyone's been locked in. And they have done what they are supposed to do. Okay, at the very detriment of Mike's Cubs, but they've done what they're supposed to do. Now, I honestly believe it doesn't matter if it's Houston, and it doesn't matter if it's the Yankees. I believe that Clayton Kershaw, as the ace, them having Yu Darvish and everybody else in their bullpen to back him up, and they have enough offense to really make themselves a serious run. If the World Series goes seven games, I don't see it going seven games. I think that the Dodgers have too much going on now, more than he ever had in his career, to back him up. And I can clearly see the Dodgers taking this series, taking the World Series. So I think he has the least amount of pressure on him now because he has help, unlike he had in the past.
Okay, and, you know, real quick stat by our crack reporter, or I should say our crack social media guru, King Vaughn Jr. The last time the Dodgers won the World Series is also the last time the Lakers, the Magic Johnson led Lakers won the. Last time Magic Johnson won this championship. That's what it is. Dodgers won the World Series in 1988, and in 1988, the Lakers won their fifth and last championship of the Magic Johnson era. Back in 1988. Both of those in 1988. So, without further ado, I just wanted to get that in before I brought in the rest of the crew. Hugo and Wally are in the building. Welcome back, fellas. Good afternoon.
Everything is great. What's good, folks?
What's going on, brother? What's going on? I'm headed down to the shore this weekend, man. Headed down the shore this afternoon or tomorrow morning,
really?
Early tomorrow morning. Yes, I am.
What's the occasion?
Tomorrow is the alumni baseball game.
Oh, snap. That's right.
The softball team is what it's Hawk Hysteria, whatever the case may be. Whatever it's called now. You know, the basketball team does their thing tonight, I think. And, you know, every families are going to be. It's like homecoming, but it's not.
Okay, so this is part two. I mean, they gave us two homecomings. This is the second. This is like, what, part one of it? I know they've had like two homecomings like that one time.
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
Okay,
this is a big deal this weekend.
Okay,
but also
okay,
in the building is my man from the MIA, who I believe put a ring on it. Hugo, what's going on?
Guys, this is a guy calling in. This is Tom. I'm not sure. I think you guys.
Oh,
this is
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sorry, Tom from LA.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
The hell it isn't, Tom.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Tom.
Tom from L.A. Well, look, while you're here, Tom from L.A., I'm sorry. Dodgers are going to the World Series. First time since 88. I don't know how old you might be. I don't know if you were around to see them go the last time. I don't know if you're a Dodgers fan, but how are you feeling about it? What's the feeling in L.A.? How is it going out there with the Dodgers going to the World Series?
I was 2 years old when they made the World Series. For all intents and purposes, this is the first time that they've made it while I've been conscious, essentially. So I think actually what's really interesting about this is that everyone's excited because you have a generation of fans that are pretty used to the Dodgers not being bad, but always just getting like beaten by the Cardinals in the playoffs or getting close and actually losing. So like there was actually like a bunch of us that just kept feeling like something was going to go wrong. And I think what's been cool about this team, right, is just that this isn't like your superstar-laden lineup with a, you know, I think when the Dodgers first became good again 5-6 years ago, it was thought of they had this massive payroll and everything, right? But, like, this is a totally different team. This is young guys. This is guys that I don't think are nationally known. Justin Turner, it's still weird to adjust to him as, like, being a superstar. Like, the guy's amazing. It's just a fun team to root for. I think Puig, people don't love him on a national level, but I think just for baseball in general, which has become such a boring sport, like it's so fun to just have someone who acts differently to look at, like, and just like at least see something different than the stone face, everything you're seeing. And it's fun. I mean, I think what's amazing is you're definitely seeing this postseason in baseball, kind of the change from the pitchers being expected to go 7 or 8 innings to answer what you were asking earlier. I don't think Kershaw's as important as he's been in the past because I think baseball's changing, right? Like what used to be a good postseason start was, hey, go out there and throw 8 innings. Now it's like, get us to the 5th inning and let's just bring in 7 guys who throw in 100 miles an hour for the next 4 innings, right? Like it's a totally different game now. And so,
that seems to be the recipe for the Dodgers, absolutely.
Yeah, at least the Dodgers, fair. I mean, yesterday watching that Lakers game, I was just like, think about the Dodgers. Good. That wasn't a fun time.
Yeah, the Lakers also took the court last night for their opener. Lonzo
really
Ball was 3 points in that game. And
yeah,
I guess it was underwhelming for Lakers fans. I'll let the resident Lakers fan Mr. Wally Wild speak on that in just a second. But real quick, so like you said, Tom, the city itself is that there's like a generation of fans that have seen the Dodgers, in a sense, be just, you know, they haven't stunk, but they've just been like just not good enough. They've been really good, but just not good enough to make it to that final step. And now that they're finally there, how is the excitement? What's the pulse? Are they turning over cars yet?
I mean, when the Lakers win, people get excited. When the Dodgers win, people love the Dodgers. So I would say a Yankees-Dodgers World Series is going to be – I know that the Astros would be cool to see someone new, but Yankees-Dodgers, I mean, I'd have to Google the last time that happened. But for teams that, like, you could argue that, you know, dating back to Brooklyn Dodgers era, like, there are not many more iconic franchises in the world than the Yankees and the Dodgers. And the last time the Dodgers were in the World Series was 88. I don't remember when they were in it before then. Like, you might be looking at 50 years the last time these two teams played each other in a World Series. So, I mean, I think it's exciting for baseball, which has been losing, some steam over the last few years. And, like, I mean, it's going to be an exciting series to see. I hope that's the one that happens just because it'll be fun. On a fan level, I don't hope it happens because I think tickets would be, like, $9,000 to sit in the outfield. But it's still, I think, well, I mean, I'm hoping that's the series.
Well, after moving to Los Angeles, the Dodgers have been to 18 World Series.
Wow.
I believe. Well, they've been to 9 in Brooklyn and 9 in LA. And they lost. They played right. in the World Series in 47, 49, 52, and 53. Is that the only time? Let's see if Vaughn had put that up there yet. No, Vaughn hasn't put that up there yet. Is that the last time the Dodgers and Yankees met in the World Series? Was 53?
You know,
that can't be right.
I just looked at it. It looks like 1981. So it's not as far back as we
81.
Think.
81.
I mean, that's...
Okay, 81. Okay,
long
I did
time.
See that.
36 years. I mean, that's a long time for two marquee franchises in sports to not meet for a championship.
I was born in 81, so I know it's a long time ago. I wasn't even 1 year old yet. So I know it's a very exciting time out there for the Dodgers fans. For LA, I don't know of all of California. I don't know how they like the Dodgers and all of California. I know the Giants fans don't like the Dodgers. I don't think the Angels fans like the Dodgers, but I know the Dodgers fans like the Dodgers, and I'm sure that Dodger Stadium will be rocking come next Tuesday. 347-637-3859. You're listening to the Soul in Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio. let me talk to Wally Wild for a second. Got to bring it up, man. Got to bring it up. Your team, and I saw your post on Twitter, on Facebook, I think it was, that you like this Lakers team. Okay,
sure.
I don't even know who won the game. I'll admit, I don't know who won the game. Well, actually, I do know one. They didn't win.
Shit, they didn't. They got blown out.
yeah, they didn't win. Lonzo Ball with 3 points. Okay,
yeah.
NBA debut. Tatum had 18 points in his NBA debut, I think the other day. Ben Simmons had 20, had like a double-double, I think, in his NBA. It's a quiet double-double, too. Ben Simmons could possibly be a Rookie of the Year candidate, but may not win it because his points came very quietly. I watched the whole game and didn't realize he had so many points.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about L.A. This is somewhat of an L.A. day here in the Soul of Sports. Your Lakers and Tom's Lakers too. What are your feelings from game one?
Game one, I mean, it was to expect that the Clippers are a good team. So I mean, they have a veteran squad. The Lakers were underdogs. But how I look at it, everybody getting Alonzo Ball, he was nervous. Like, dude was nervous. You can tell he was nervous. It's the same pattern that we saw in preseason. I mean, in preseason, even in the summer league, where his first game, it wasn't good. But once he got warmed up, he felt more comfortable in playing. Playing against certain players. So I expect him to struggle in like the first couple games. I think it's nerves. There's a lot of hype with Lonzo Ball because of LeVar and whatnot. So once he gets to like the third game, I expect for him to be a decent baller. You know, you have Patrick Beverly trying to go at him, one of the most dirtiest basketball players in the face of the earth. So I don't really. I think that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for your first game to go.
Well, you heard what Patrick Beverly said to him in the very beginning, correct?
Yeah, I heard about it. I heard it. You know, Patrick Beverly feels good. It's amazing. Like, I've watched Patrick Beverly for years now. Since he's not his journeyman anymore, he feels comfortable saying whatever he wants to say now. Again, you're saying it's Alonzo Ball, a rookie. You know, when when Westbrook, after he took Westbrook out in that dirty play, and Westbrook goes at him, then he's like, you know, quiet because he gets torched. So Patrick Beverly doesn't impress me as an individual, to be honest with you. But yeah, he can say what he wants to say. He felt really good about himself, and I'll give LeVar Ball credit. I kind of like LeVar Ball, but I'll give him credit for this one statement, and I think it's true, is that, you know, Patrick Beverly, you know, decided to go. He wouldn't go at anybody like that, you know what I'm saying, like a Westbrook or whatever, but you're going after a rookie that really hasn't done anything, like he's freaking Chris Paul or somebody like that. So I was amazed that Patrick Beverly played the game like it was the freaking NBA Finals. But if he was playing against, a Westbrook, and Patrick Beverly puts a lot of energy out there, I'm not saying he doesn't, but he doesn't come out with that same, I'm the best defender in the world, first team all defense. He doesn't talk like that. Now he's talking like that.
He doesn't talk much at all.
Which is amazing. We play ball. You play ball. I'm a fan of be you. If you're gonna be that person, be that person against anybody. Like, don't do that because you're playing against a father who talks a lot and the son has to suffer for whatever it is. But if you're gonna be a baller, be a baller. Like, I don't want to see you talking trash.
Let me play devil's advocate for a little bit. Patrick Beverly is first team all defense, right? Am I right in saying that?
But what you do
on the court is you take any advantage you can get. Right?
Agreed.
And if I could say a quick sentence to you and try to get in your head from the rip, from the very beginning, I'm going to take advantage of that. If I could look at you and you're a rookie coming into this league, and you know, and I know me, you're going to be matched up, and I say, look, first teamer right here, buddy. Get ready for a long night. And that's all I need. And that's all I need to say to get you to only score 3 points when you're a scorer. Hey, I think I won.
But he's not a scorer.
I think
the weird thing about it is he's not a scorer, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think the one thing to look at, too, because my take on that game, I think there's a lot of negatives to take away. Lonzo's not a negative for me at all. In fact, I think if there's one thing you want to say, I think everyone's blowing up Beverly a little too much. Lonzo didn't react at all.
I agree.
Exactly.
He never did.
He didn't react.
He never did.
Lonzo,
I know.
Like, Lonzo's
I wouldn't
not
expect
a scorer,
him to
right?
react.
So, like,
I wouldn't expect
there,
him to react. Rookies don't react. Don't really react.
But if you've seen the way Beverly was talking, anybody reacts. Like, this is the thing.
Right.
The things that he was doing, anybody reacts. It wasn't like
Brook Lopez
Brook Lopez reacting. Like, everybody was reacting. Like, if it was, I'll give you an example. If it was Dennis Smith Jr., if you know how Dennis Smith Jr. acts, he may have been thrown out the game. Like, people react to what he was doing. Like, he was basically trying to intimidate Lonzo Ball. Now, this wasn't even basketball. This was more like, I'm going to punk you. Put it that way. I'm going to punk you.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Jay Chris, seriously, Jay Chris.
If you look at it, too, right? Like, so here's the two worrisome things I think came out of that game. One, Ingram really didn't look good in, like, kind of a scary type of way. And I know people. And he's young, and I know it's one game, and I'm going to give it a little bit more than that. But there are also 19, 20-year-olds in this league, Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, other players that are looking better than him. So, like, he was a worrisome spot that I think didn't look great. Lonzo, he didn't fill up the stat line because the other worrisome part about this game is that Luke Walton, it's one game, it's like, you know, but there were some signs this last season. The lineups he was putting out there were – almost the opposite lineup you would want to put out there with Lonzo. Lonzo has succeeded in the past by having shooters around him, people that can spread the floor. And he put him out there, A, with Brandon Ingram at shooting guard, which is absurd in the modern NBA to put Brandon Ingram at shooting guard. Luol Deng, who's basically a corpse at this point, who also can't shoot. Larry Nance Jr., who for everything, every athleticism and defensive thing he brings to the table, he can't shoot. And Brook Lopez, who, yeah, he kind of was able to shoot last year, but, like, he's still a plotting center. They're trying to run, like curl screens for their 7-foot slow center. So it's like Lonzo never really shared the court at any point in time with Kuzma, with Clarkson. And granted, the Lakers don't have a lot of shooting, which is going to be an issue. But you can't fully judge Lonzo right now because until KCP is back, right, who I think can shoot threes, you're not going to really be able to judge Lonzo, I think, until you see KCP on the court. You also see Kuzma getting a few more minutes. They just need guys out there that are going to be able to shoot. And the lineups, Lonzo was only out there for 29 minutes. He was out there for 13 minutes of that with Deng, Nance, and Ingram. It's just lineups that didn't make sense. So when the defense collapsed on him, knowing that he wasn't going to shoot, like, he had no one to kick it to.
So, Tom, is it fair to say, like, from what you said, okay, from what you said, you're saying that, you know, he's used to being out there with shooters that, you know, open things up for him. Okay. Is it fair to say that he's not able to create his own shot?
See, I don't think that's true. I think with Lonzo, he doesn't have elite handle, but he has good handle. The way Lonzo is going to get his own shot, and I think you'll eventually see this, is that eventually when he figures out when to shoot and when not to shoot, defenses are going to have no idea when he's going to pass or when he's not going to pass. And so while he won't ever have, like, the shake or the athleticism of a Dennis Smith or even, like, an elite scorer, it'll be the threat that he might make that these guys can't move off their own man and help with him because they know he'll find the open pass that will inevitably allow him to mostly go one-on-one against his own guy and get easy shots, and it'll depend on him being able to get threes. So he can create his own shot. It'll just be different than a lot of players you've ever seen because he is different than a lot of players you've ever seen.
347-637-3859. Mike, you had something you wanted to add to this earlier.
I just wanted to just talk about how everyone's just so high right now and clearly on crack of some kind, where everyone's sitting here having this overreaction to one freaking basketball game. It's an 82-game season. And chemistry and team building and Luke Walton getting his act together, putting the right lineup in there so they can be athletic, not counting the fact that the general manager and the president are going to be making some moves, probably some extra moves before the end of the trade deadline, you know, to do all the things they need to do to make their team competitive. It's going to happen. It's 82 games. Folks, kill me with this. I'm talking about it doesn't matter if it's Fox Sports. It doesn't matter if it's the four-letter, which we know they worship evil things. You know, it doesn't matter if it's – it doesn't matter what sports talk program it is. We have to get out of the habit of taking 82 games and condensing it. We should be worried. If I'm watching football, then I understand because every game actually matters. You tell me every game matters in basketball, that's a stone-cold lock lie. And you can lock that up, okay?
And you know what, Micah, you're absolutely right. But you know what, we fall into this situation every year where we come in during the football season, and we're used to talking about every game like it's life or death. And then we get into the very beginning of the basketball season, and we're like, oh, how did this happen? You're absolutely right in your assessment there. Here's what I would say. And this is speaking to what Tom was saying and to what you were saying. There are a lot of things to be said about what happens on the court. I know it's albeit the first game, and there's going to be 81 more. But you can still see that, you know, what things need to be worked on, what things, you know, what should and shouldn't happen. They'll figure it out, but we're also going to have to figure out ways to talk about it. And I think that – Lonzo, from what everything is telling me, from what I'm reading, has developed the ability to create a shot for himself, because Lakers aren't going to win with him only scoring 3 points a game.
Well, of course,
and I mean, it's one game.
It's not like we can't deny the reality that he sucked, that he was garbage, but that was because of the defense that was being played on him. I don't believe that he's going to be just garbage with a guy like Steph Curry, who, you know, you can say he plays defense. You know what I'm saying? Russell Westbrook's going to eat him alive. You know, I think because like Tom said, he's not necessarily the most athletic on the floor. So when you got somebody who's going to be putting the screws to him athletically, then he may have to figure out ways to make other people better than him around him by feeding them the ball, trusting them to figure out ways to build it, to get their shots going so that they can get better as shooters and get better as a team. And, yes, he should be able to start figuring out ways to create his own shot. And once he settles in, because now he's playing grown men, he's not playing the young boys. He's playing the grown men. And so as he settles in playing the grown men, I believe that he has the talent, the ability, and the know-how, and the big mouth of a father that he has to make sure he figures out how to get his shot off so that way, like Tom said, people don't know if he's going to shoot or pass, and that's when he becomes truly deadly as a point guard.
Well, and this is
Lonzo
the same thing with Tom.
I would say Lonzo to me is really – honestly, I thought Lonzo, he didn't play the last 15 minutes of the game. He should have had 6 or 7 assists. He was just passing to people that were breaking shots. His rebounding was actually like real rebounds, unlike a Westbrook rebound, which is like every free throw that gets shot, like clear out, let Westbrook get the rebound so he gets a triple-double. Like, there were actual positives that I saw from Lonzo last night. The worries and the reason that I do actually think every game is important for the Lakers and it is proper to overreact for them is they just traded their former number 2 pick, who looks like he might be pretty good, to open up cap space to sign players that I have no idea, as the biggest Lakers homer in the world, I have no idea why in the world they would come to this team. So, like, yes, I know every game in the NBA doesn't matter, but for the Lakers, who are staking their future on the thought that they're going to sign LeBron James and Paul George, like, having Brandon Ingram out there dribbling around in circles, bumping into people and falling backwards and like going 2 for 15 in a season where, forget Lonzo. Lonzo's going to be Lonzo and he'll eventually be good. Like, his floor is still, he's going to be very good. If Ingram's not good, this team has serious worries for being able to carry out the plans that they want. And that to me was the scarier issue. And I will say, yes, it's game one, but it's a lot of things we've thought about him in the past coming to fruition again. So, like, yes and no. Most teams don't matter game to game, but with the Lakers' plan that they've put into place, it does kind of matter, especially on national TV.
Wow, you had something you wanted to add?
Oh, no, I mean, he's right. I just had an issue, like, again, with when you talk about Lonzo and his play, like really his game was all predicated on what other people were doing. Like, his outlet passes were great. Like, he could have had – I think he could have had 10 assists, to be honest with you. Could have had – if he stayed throughout the whole game, he could have had a double-double getting 10 assists and 10 rebounds. Because, like Tom said, he rebounded like a beast. He was actually getting boards and leading a break and outletting them. And his players were missing layups, weren't finishing around the basket. So, there were things that he did great. I mean, Lonzo Ball is not a scorer. That's not his thing. He was never a thorough scorer in college. He can score in college because he's playing in college. But if you look at his game – He's ready to make the right NBA, the right basketball play. So what that means, if you're ahead of me and you like you got a break, I'm not dribbling the ball all the way up the court. No, I'm going to pass the ball. That's what Lonzo does. So his stats in scoring is going to suffer because he's all about making the right basketball play. He doesn't care about the box, the stat sheet. He doesn't. Westbrook cares about the stat sheet. Lonzo Ball doesn't.
347-6735. Now I'm going to make one last point. And it comes from something Micah said about, you know, him being less athletic. He's probably going to be less athletic than most of the people that he goes up against on a nightly basis. If you think about it, if he's going to be the point guard, you know, I don't, you know, he's going to see the Westbrooks, the Hardens, or Chris Pauls. He's going to see the John Walls. He's going to see the Kyle Lowrys. He's going to see those guys. You know, he's going to have some issues. He's going to have some issues, and probably those issues will be more defensively. I can see those issues happening because, you know, I saw John Wall the other night, and John Wall is nasty. Okay,
he's nasty. If
you take John Wall off that Wizards team, they're nothing. John Wall is that MVP over there right now. So, I mean, you know, Lonzo will figure it out. And his daddy, we keep mentioning his daddy. Daddy ain't really said much lately. Not too much. Not as far as Lonzo was concerned. I actually read an interesting article I thought this morning about LaMelo, the youngest one. He may not get the opportunity to play college ball. But we can talk about that another day. We'll talk about that another day. Right now, it's time for us to get to some picks. It's Friday, so you know we got to do our picks. Okay, so let's get the y'all ready to y'all got y'all picks together. Let's not all speak.
I got my picks. I got my picks, man. You know, teamwork makes the dream work. I got my picks.
All right, so let's get ready and let's, because I got Mike's picks here. I'm filling in for Mike Knox today. Of course, it's your boy Jay Chris, Justin Watson, whatever you want to call me. And you know, we're going to be talking about Week 7 of the NFL, and we're going to give our picks. You want to make some money? Listen to us. I'm not saying listen to me. I'm not saying listen to Wally or Micah or whoever it may be. But listen to all of us collectively, and you are guaranteed to make some money. Okay, I said it, and that's what I'm going to say. So, without further ado, I'm going off the lines from sportsbook.ag, okay? And we have first game on the dock. You got Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns, and the Titans are a six-point favorite. Wally, what you got in this one?
Oh, they got that Tennessee, and they covering. Cleveland sucks. With the Kaiser back? He's starting again.
Oh, Kaiser's back this week.
Yeah, I think he's back this week. Yeah, they lose him. They lose him bad, too.
I'm trying to see. Well, Michael, what you got?
I got to go with Wally. Tennessee and the points.
Tennessee minus the six. I wasn't impressed with Tennessee the other night, actually, against Indianapolis. I really wasn't.
I wasn't either.
You know, but you can never be impressed with the Browns. So I'm going to go with the Browns to cover. Tennessee on a short week. I'm going with the Browns to cover this game. They'll lose, but they're going to cover. All right, and Mike also is going with Tennessee in this game. Another game on the dock, we got the Jaguars and the Colts. The Jaguars are favored by 3 points against your Indianapolis Colts. Michael, what do you say?
Better defense, horrible quarterback, but my team has a bad offensive line, and we can't stop the run. So give me Jacksonville, and it's probably going to be actually more than 3 points, even though it's at Indianapolis. So hey, I'm trying to do Wally's technique here. I want to pick against my team, and maybe something good will happen.
Wally, he's picking against his team. Are you going to pick his team for him?
Oh yeah, I'm picking Jacksonville. But hey, Mike, it worked though. Don't let anybody tell you different. That thing worked.
It didn't work for me last year. Okay, it didn't work for me last year.
Well, you guys had some African voodoo. You know, that thing's crazy.
All right. I'm also going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars in this, but Mike says this is one of those do not touch games. This one, I touched this one. I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars in this one to cover to win and cover those 3 points. Next game on the dock, he's got the Baltimore Ravens are 5.5-point dogs against the Minnesota Vikings. So, Wally, what you got in this one?
Give me Minnesota, and I got them covering.
Ooh,
Joe Flacco be killing me, man.
Well, looks like Joe Flacco has become Joe Flacco, like we all thought he was. You know, hey, I mean, that same Ravens defense made Trent Dilfer look viable. So, you know, anyway, so let's go ahead and go with Minnesota.
Let's make it a 4-for-4. Mike is going with Minnesota, and I'm also going with Minnesota in this one. I don't know what's going on in Baltimore, but it's not going good. Let's go to the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. Hugo's Jets against Paige's Dolphins. Neither one of them are here today. This is the week. This was the Friday that we needed both of them here. But they're not, so we move on. Jets, Dolphins, Micah. The Jets are 3-point dogs in this one. What you got?
And then Vegas is lying to us and trying to set us up to lose some money. I'm not losing any money on this. Give me the Jets, who made Tom Horatio Rodriguez Brady look dumb. And if it wasn't for the referees bailing him out, okay, I'm calm.
I'm calm. I'm sorry. Okay. Give me the Jets to win this game outright.
Wally?
Oh, give me the Dolphins.
Ooh, Dolphins. Mike is calling this a do not touch game, but if he must touch, he's going with the Jets. I'm also gonna go with the Jets. You know, they got 3 points to their name right now. I'm going with the Jets. It's in Miami, it's gonna be warm weather. It's gonna be warm weather. Give me the Jets. I'm going with the New York Jets. So we're 3-1 on this one. Next game on the dock, you got the Buccaneers traveling to Buffalo. The Buccaneers are 3-point dogs in Buffalo. Wally, what you got for this one?
Say that one more time. What's the spread?
Buccaneers are 3-point dogs at Buffalo.
Oh, give me is Jameis playing?
I think Jameis is playing.
Give me the Bucs. I'll take the Bucs.
Micah?
Yeah, let me go ahead and get I'm here. Let me go ahead and get Buffalo. Buffalo wants that win. Their defense is gonna be too tough for Bucks.
I wanna go with the Buccaneers, the 3-point favorites. They're gonna give me 3 points for the Buccaneers or something like that. Yeah. Give me the Buccaneers. Give me the Buccaneers to cover that. Give me the Buccaneers. I'm going with the Buccaneers. I'm just go ahead and say it. Give me the Buccaneers with this one. Next game on the docket we have, where are we? We are Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. Panthers are 3.5-point favorites. Micah, what say you on this one? Micah, you there? Anybody there? Wally, you there?
I'm here.
I think we lost Micah. Micah, you go. Yes, we lost Micah. I'm sorry. So, Wally. Excuse me. Wally, we got the Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. Carolina Panthers are 3.5-point favorites. What say you with this program?
Carolina's only 3.5 favorites?
Carolina's only 3.5-point favorites at the Bears.
Oh, don't give me that one. Give me Carolina. Save them. Yeah, I got that. They cover easy.
Kuechly is still in concussion protocol.
That's cool.
From that monster hit he took from the Eagles.
Yeah, I know you're going to do that. Look at you. Little nice little plug. Look at you.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Nice plug. That monster hit he took from the Eagles. Look at you.
Hey, that was a nasty hit. When it happened, I was like, woo!
I know. Oh, y'all boys ball on defense, man. That's real talk. Y'all boys ball on defense.
Carolina in this one?
Yeah, going Carolina. Mm-hmm.
All right. And the last game, Mike is going with the Buffalo Bills. I think I forgot to mention that. I'm also going to go with Carolina in this game. They'll cover that 3.5 easily against the Chicago Bears. You know, these Chicago Bears have had a sense of humor this year. Wally, are you leaving early today?
Yeah, I'll stay.
Yeah, we'll finish up the show after that. So we got the New Orleans Saints are 4-point favorites at the Green Bay Packers. No Aaron Rodgers. Wally, what say you on this one?
Ooh, you know what? This is my upset. I'm going Green Bay. Huntley going ball.
Going Green Bay in this one.
Huntley going ball.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm also going with Green Bay on this one. I think they end up finding a way to pull this one out. They got a great staff over there. I think they're going to do the doggone thing. And Mike, let's see what Mike got. Mike took New Orleans in this one. New Orleans. He took New Orleans on this one. Okay. Next game on the docket, you got the Arizona Cardinals in L.A. going facing the Rams. They're 3-point dogs to the Rams. What say you, Wally?
Who they're playing again? Why? I missed
the Arizona Cardinals are 3-point dogs to the Rams.
This is a tough one. I know. This is a tough one. I think AP about to get out, but I think the Rams got a better all-around team. I'm going to go with the Rams.
This is what I would call an untouchable special, but I'm going to go with, I don't know. I guess I'm one of the member Barry guys. I just, you know, remember when the Arizona Cardinals were actually kind of good. They're kind of not right now. And it's hard to go with the Rams because, you know, lately they haven't been good, but they kind of are right now. So it's in L.A. They're going to that small stadium. I'm going to go with the Rams in this one too. Yes, I'm going to go with the Rams, and Mike is also going with the Rams. Next game on the docket. King Vaughn Jr.'s Dallas Cowboys. And if you're putting your picks up there, Vaughn, I will get to them later. I just had to keep Mike's picks up there in the message board. King Vaughn Jr.'s Dallas Cowboys against the San Francisco 49ers, and the Cowboys are favored by 6 points. Count them, 6 points against San Francisco 49ers. Wally, do I need to ask?
No, you don't. You know, you're right now.
I'm going to go ahead and put a pick out there. I'm going to say that the Dallas Cowboys win and cover those 6 points. Yeah, I got a nasty taste in my mouth right now, but
I know. It's okay.
Know, just had to do it. Since I'm hosting today, I just had to go ahead and.
You got hey, like you gotta be the mature one. You know, I'm not mature, so I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm mature when I feel like it. Mike also has the Cowboys in this one, so you know. Next on the docket, you got the Bengals plus five. They're 5-point dogs against the Steelers. What say you?
I'm gonna go with the Bengals. I know they had a big win, but the Steelers had a big win last week against the Chiefs. I'm gonna go with the Bengals, though. I think they've been playing better basketball, better football of late, and arguably, you know what you could say. I know it's funny, but you can arguably say that Andy Dalton may be the best quarterback in the AFC North.
I mean, well, maybe right now at the moment, maybe, yeah.
I mean, right now. So I'm not talking about it.
Yeah,
I'm talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Mike is picking Cincinnati. He's calling this his upset of the week. At least saying Pittsburgh wins the game. While you're predicting a letdown, you're saying the Steelers are going to lose.
Yeah, Steelers are going to lose. If you're a letdown, they're going to lose.
And okay. So he's predicting the letdown. I think I'm going to go with Mike on this one and say that the Steelers will win, but they will not cover. So that means I'm going to have to pick the Bengals on this one. Next game on the docket, you got Seattle minus four. Seattle is 4-point favorites at the New York Giants. And this is a 4:25 game. Wally, what say you on this one?
Oh, Seattle got this. I don't care if the Giants beat the Broncos. I don't have faith in the Giants against Seattle. Nah.
Giants, everybody except Eli Manning got hurt on the Giants. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, all their starters except Eli got hurt. Yeah, I'm going to go with Seattle on this one, too. Seattle is having a tough time scoring, but I'm going with Seattle on this one, too. And Mike is also going with the Seahawks in this one. Let me just double-check that and make sure. Yes, he's going with the Seahawks in this one. So next game on the docket, we have Denver Broncos at the L.A. Chargers. The Broncos are favored by 1 point at the Chargers.
Give me L.A. Chargers. I can't say Super Chargers. Give me L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going with the Chargers, too, even though I've never been a fan of Phillip Rivers. Never, ever. Because he burnt me so many times in fantasy. he just had for many years in a row. He burnt me in fantasy. But I will go with the Chargers to win this game. It's in. But will it be a situation where all the Denver Broncos fans are going to fill the stadium
It will.
For LA?
It will.
Man, let me see. No, I'm going with the Broncos. I'm not going with the Chargers in this one. I'm not going to let Phillip Rivers burn me again. I'm going with the Broncos in this one. Broncos fans will fill up the stadium. Broncos fans are coming off that loss to the Giants where they know they shouldn't have lost that game. Give me the Broncos in this game. And Mike is also going with the Chargers in this game. So you and Mike have the Chargers. I have the Broncos in this game. Now we have a Super Bowl rematch for the Sunday night game. We have the Atlanta Falcons at the New England Patriots. The Falcons are 3.5-point dogs in this one. What you think, Wally?
This is a tough one. I think this is a must win for the for the Falcons. But the Patriots, they need a W. They need a W as well. I'm gonna go with the Patriots on this one.
Patriots. Mike is going with the Patriots on this one. The Falcons, as was said this past week, earlier this week, the Falcons are winning ugly. But that doesn't matter to me as long as they're winning. So, give me the Falcons in this game. The Super Bowl rematch. Give me the Falcons in this game. All right? Yes. Give me
really?
The Falcons.
Okay.
And they're 3.5-point dogs. Give me the Falcons in this one. I like it. In New England, the Patriots. Excuse me. The Patriots already lost to Carolina at home. I think they can lose to Atlanta at home. I think they can. Actually, I'm not sure if that game was at home, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And since it's a Monday night game,
I don't know
if I'll be on the show yet on Monday night. But since it's you and I, Wally, we'll go ahead and discuss this one.
I know.
But I want to hear you say it anyway. You got the Washington Redskins traveling up 95 to Philadelphia. 5-point favorites in Philadelphia against my Philadelphia Eagles. Wally, will they cover the 5? I know you haven't won them. Will they cover the 5?
The Eagles? Will the Eagles cover the 5?
Will the Skins cover the 5?
I'm sorry.
I got that totally back. The Skins are 5-point dogs. I'm sorry.
Of course. I'm just saying. Yeah, man. No way that the Reds are the favorite against that team. Shoot, no way. You know what? You know, I got to stay consistent. You already know who I am now. I'm staying consistent.
You're picking
the Eagles. Yeah, Carson Wentz, Pennsylvania. Get this money.
So should I go ahead and pick the Skins then?
You should. You really should. Like,
under your logic, should I pick the Skins?
Yeah, you really should.
So I picked the Skins to cover the 5. They will cover.
You know what? That
five.
Means you win either way.
I'm sorry, they won outright. They won outright.
Yeah. Look, that means you win either way. Think about it.
Exactly. I hope I'm wrong.
Exactly.
That'll make me the real winner.
Exactly. There you go.
I'm hoping I'm wrong.
All right, so we're going to
get ready to close this show out. It's another week here at the Soul in Sports. Shout out to Mike doing this thing on location today. And everybody, thank you to John from L.A. calling in, talking about those L.A. Dodgers and those L.A. Lakers. And, we're getting everything popping. Wally, is there anything – excuse me. I'm losing my voice if you can't tell. I've lost my voice.
It's all good.
Is there anything – any last words, Wally?
I owe you wings, man. That's all I owe you wings.
You do
man,
owe me wings. I forgot.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're mine.
You
do owe me wings.
Dude, I told you, man. Look, man.
Well, let's do this.
What's up?
Forget who we picked, okay?
Yeah.
Do you want to go double or nothing this week?
I know how we always did. Sure, why not?
Okay. Let's go double or nothing this week.
Yeah.
So I hope I win something. Double the wings.
Double the wings. There you go.
That's why I need double the wings out here.
We're
getting out of here. We have another wing bet on the horizon. It's me and Wally. I should get in touch with Rev T. We didn't talk to Rev T today. I'm surprised he didn't hit us up. Maybe he didn't want me to say anything because of how it went last time and all like that. And I didn't make the mumbo sauce bet with him, but it is what it is. Send me up a bottle of mumbo sauce, Wally, so I can put them on them wings that you're going to buy me. Appreciate it. And we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna get up out of here to take 2 steps to rear, and we getting the hell up out of here. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to y'all next week on Monday.
Franchise. Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.